What's up, music producer?
What is up?
Oh. Woo! I guess Ray's flushing the toilet this morning on this.
No way, man. We're like, thank you.
Hopefully you all are doing good. You're not flushing too much stuff down the toilet.
That's today. Right.
We are going to be talking about tips to successful touring.
Touring is so important, y'all. It is the number one way artists and producers, live music producers, make consistent money.
And we're going to talk about it. Yes, it's going to be a series. We're going to cover a couple topics today, mm-hmm. the next time, and we'll see how it goes.
Tell you some funny stories.
Yeah, we got a couple of stories. But yeah, hopefully you all are doing good.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. It's hot.
It is. It's going to be over 100 degrees all week.
Sheesh.
And so, then I've got this jacket on for some crazy reason. It's cold in the studio.
It's because it looks good in here. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
I got my red on. You got the blue.
Because Roman's got his camera game on. Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully y'all don't die of heat stroke or get exhaustion from heat.
That's right.
Stay hydrated. Stay cool. Yeah, except the energy place has been emailing about conserve energy.
They have been, man.
It's like, I have solar.
Stop and also the water people.
Yeah.
Like, don't water your yard. Let it go brown.
I'm about to do a desert scape on my front yard.
That's all rocks.
I grew up in Las Vegas.
Do it.
Everyone did it.
Come on.
You just need to water your, if you have trees. I don't even want trees. Let me just desert out the whole front with
do
cactus.
It, bro. It's your house.
I know. HOA's didn't tell me different.
Well, yeah, you'll have to get permission, I guess.
Yeah, but they'll probably approve because it's helping conserve water.
Oh.
And I'll leave my backyard with grass for my kids to just do their thing. And
yeah,
we'll see.
Cool.
I gotta pass it to the house boss, aka yep. Mila. So
the boss.
We'll see. Before we jump in, we want to let you know about our free gift to you.
Boom.
Industry Standard Productions.
ISP.
ISP, fordproducer.com/ISP. Go check it out. Completely free. 7 steps to level up your production.
Yes.
So you could start killing the game and making some money.
That's right.
Some. You know what's interesting is that's like a cash register that even I haven't used in my lifetime.
Oh, yeah. They don't use that anymore.
But that sound is, people know it means.
Right.
Cha-ching. So go check it out. fordproducer.com/ISP.
Do it.
We have industry news, Ray Dog.
Yeah, this is a very interesting one. Just when you think, you know, there's no money going in the music business, that's just not the reality, okay? So the U.S. recorded music industry grew $500 million on a wholesale base in 2022.
Let us know what the wholesale is.
The wholesale is basically the money that goes to the publishers, goes to the, you know, record labels and all that. And then retail is from them to us, right? So, right.
This money in the pocket of those.
And that $500 million, by the way, is about 20%. I mean,
if it ain't a good time to get into the music industry,
it's a great time to get in.
It's never going to be a good time.
That's right. If you have any inkling at all or ever had any desire to get in the music business, jump on in. The water's fine.
And I think, like, too, with this is a side note to that, but, like, the way the world's connected now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy. Like,
it's a global world. Listen, like, you're able to strategize, hey, what if I want to do Indian music? What if I want to do Latin music? I mean, you have access through these aggregators, like
at your fingertips too.
Right. Yeah. Like literally you press one button and you can be on every phone in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I mean, there's 7 billion people. I don't know how many phones are out there, but it's gotta be at least half that.
It's gotta be. Yeah. It's gotta
for
be
crying
a
out
lot.
Loud. Like we've never lived in a time like this.
The amount of media that's happening too.
Yeah.
There's music everywhere.
Man, if you're smart, if you can get connect, you know, do some connects and find artists and find music that people love and grow an audience, there's nothing you can't do.
And if you're good at managing and stewarding your music correctly,
there's nothing you can't do. We're kind of teasing y'all on a couple of announcements we're going to be making in the next couple of weeks.
Tease.
Right. But I'm going to tell you what, man, it's a good time. And the numbers are bearing that out.
Yeah. for sure.
Yeah, that's what's cool.
For sure. That's industry news. $500 million increase, about a 20% increase.
Mm-hmm.
Good time to jump in. So we have overrated and underrated.
Yeah, what you got?
Mixing on AirPods.
All right.
I'm going to say underrated because I'm a big fan of mixing on headphones or in-ears and getting used to that sound and learning that and mixing it. Because like back in the day when they're in the studio, they learn speakers.
Yeah.
And that's what they, like some dudes would travel with their speakers. If they went to another studio, they'd set their speakers up and they'd hit a mix like that.
All right, so look, I'm slowly changing my perspective.
Don't change your perspective after what I said.
Well, here's why. Because here's what the thought that ran through my mind was this. How do you mainly digest music? It's
your phone.
Really from your phone, I would think. Also the car. Car phone
is basically it.
It's never
sometimes a computer.
Maybe computer or speakers. That's probably the three biggies, right?
Yeah.
So it would make sense that you would at the very least reference from those three to make sure those three are good. Your car. Mm-hmm. I do the car all the time. I mean it's like a no brainer for me.
You know they got plugins now that do a car simulation.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if I believe it.
I still think if you get your headphones down right.
Yeah.
Your mix is going to be fire. If you do the reference up front and you know what you're working with and you don't really have to do the reference anymore.
Yeah.
Because you learned your headphones well.
Yeah.
Or your speakers, whatever you mix on.
At the very, very least, I'm going to reference on headphones. So I've got my speakers, right? And I'll get a mix popping what I like. And then I'll go to put on the headphones and then print it off and then go to the car.
And do the car check.
That's exactly
what if your car system sounds like trash, though?
Well, but one thing, because you learn your car system, like you know, you play master quality things through it. Learn where
you listen to your car's through your car sound system.
Yes,
I listen on AirPods.
Well, I do. Well, oh yeah, I don't do AirPods. I do headphones, my car system, and then my speakers and the
stuff. Like I don't even. Only time my car radio, we call it radio, but it's actually the CD player. The auxiliary player. What is it called? System? Sound system?
Yeah.
Radio, whatever. Radio. Only time that's ever on is when my wife drives my car.
Ah.
She's always asking, where's the aux cable? How do I connect? Because my car is older, so it's like it doesn't have the...
So when you're in your car, you're listening to speakers?
I go AirPod Pros.
I don't know if that's legal, bro.
Why not?
You might get pulled over.
I got pulled over.
That would be overrated.
Why is that illegal?
Because you can't hear your surroundings. What's going on?
Exactly.
Exactly, Ray.
You have transparent audio, which I don't use transparent audio. I use that mug isolated. I don't even care. I'm just like, I don't want to hear nothing else. I'll put my podcast on. I'll barely listen to music on there if I mix a lot.
And then let's say you're in front of the judge. Well, why are you in front of me, Mr. Pino? Well, I had to.
Had AirPods in.
Right, AirPods in.
Were they on noise canceling or were they on transparent?
Right.
Noise canceling.
And the judge's like, is that a law?
Lifetime. Yeah, that's what I do. So I think it's overrated. You think it's overrated?
I think it's properly rated.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not an option.
Because if you're a real professional mix guy or producer, you're going to listen on multiple sets of speakers. You're just going to.
Sure. I don't know. Everyone, to me, like,
so maybe that's what we need to talk
I'm
about.
I'm professional.
Is that overrated right there? It's listening to multiple speakers.
Yeah, I'm professional. I don't roll deep on multiple speakers. I literally, the stuff that I've released, whenever I hear it in my car, I don't even listen to my car anymore.
I do.
I used to be able to, I'd hear it in my wife's car. If I'm driving shotgun.
Yeah,
and we play something that we did, then that'll be the first time I hear it in a car is after it's already out there.
Ah, okay.
But that's just me.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. What do y'all think? Let us know. So let's jump into the main talk. We're talking about tips to successful touring. As Ray said, this is a great way to make some change in all aspects of touring, whether you are the artist, the MD, the manager, producer, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, touring is the main source of revenue for artists.
That's why it was such a heartache whenever COVID hit and everything was shut down.
Oh, it was horrible, dude.
People were like, man, they felt it in their wallets, but then they figured out ways how to like live stream and get more music out.
And then, you know, like Taylor Swift and Beyonce, they're going to be all right, right? But I'm talking about those
more independent.
Yeah, the B-level artists, you know, maybe they're $2 to $3 million a year artists. A lot of that $2-3 million is coming from touring, right? So yeah. I think COVID really hurt some bands and artists and all that.
So we're going to, this is going to be a series. We're going to cover some main points today to help you be successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're making money. If COVID hits, we have no options for you. No, mm-hmm. just kidding. There's some options, but we'll talk about it now post-COVID.
Right.
The first thing we're going to talk about is plan and organize.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like, that's for everything in life, really,
yep,
to be successful.
And to really do it well, you need to have enough time to plan and organize.
Mm-hmm. Enough runway.
You need to do the budgets. You need to decide, you know, budgeting, you know, things that you have to decide on. You're going to take a bus out, or you're going to take a van out, or you're going to take your cars.
Or you're going to fly into a location and you're going to get some rental cars to rental, tour around.
You know, so that comes into logistics and all that. And I know we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead on us, Ray.
But it's true.
It's all part of it.
Yeah, the tours, I've had to plan, like, I think where I actually was running the tour, I think 3 or 4 that I had to do the budgets for and do all the planning and help with the routing and all that stuff. Mm. So
planning's huge.
Yeah, it's massive.
I think that planning organized ties hand in hand with the logistics side, but we have here for the later podcast to talk about logistics, I think more in like a technical aspect.
Okay.
But we could probably talk about like, where are you going?
Right. Exactly. here's another thing. And I've got a bit of a tragic story. Like where you're going is super important because how you're getting there is important. If you're in a bus, that's probably, then you don't have to worry about anything, right? But the bus drivers, I think they have a 8 to 10 hour limit. You know, after that, they have to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for you to avoid double drives and like double your money, you need to be just no more than 8 to 10 hours away from your next stop, right? That way they can go to sleep and all that. But I do know folks that were in a van that they were exhausted. It was a band. Well, I won't use the name, but nobody would know it. It's been about 15, 20 years. But they were exhausted, but they were getting pushed to get to the next destination. And it was over a 7-hour drive.
Because it was just booked bad.
Yep. And they had a horrible, horrible accident where one or two of the guys passed away in the accident. So it's
someone falling asleep at the wheel, probably.
Yep. Well, and it could be things like black ice, you know, if it's a, you know, something winter.
The road's dangerous.
Going on. I mean, there's a lot of safety things that you truly have to think through in the planning stage as you're preparing for a tour.
Yeah, that's a big, I think when it comes to like a bus, that's way different than a van.
Yeah.
Like I knew a lot of guys that were in smaller bands that they had to sell t-shirts to really eat that night.
Correct.
That sort of thing. So it was
Correct.
Like they had to play a show. Go hop in a van,
mm-hmm.
get their Taco Bell or whatever, and drive through the night
right.
to get to the next location.
That is very dangerous.
And that's,
I mean, right. Now, if it's 3-4 hours, that's fine. You know, like from Austin to Houston, that would probably work because you're probably pumped up from the show until at least 2 in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours to the next place, I would highly recommend, you know, staying the night or breaking the trip up, mm-hmm. you know, go halfway, you know, something like that. You know, as an artist, as a band, you'll have to decide those things, but you need to think through safety concerns.
That's why planning's so crucial too, is because you need, first of all, which we'll get into talking about the team the next point.
Yeah.
But having the right people that are knowledgeable enough to know that.
Absolutely.
As opposed to like, yeah, I could manage the tour, and then they book all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like, I think too, whenever it comes to planning it too, like what you're talking about, there's ways that you could fly into a spot, mm-hmm. do a little mini tour there for the weekend. That's what I did a lot when I traveled.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty cool.
Kind of hub out of, you know, I mean, let's use Austin again. You know, you could stay here,
mm-hmm.
do a quick day run to Dallas.
Go Waco, Dallas, San Antonio.
Do a quick day run to San Antonio the next night, and then Houston. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be a smart way. That's touring smartly.
Yeah, that's like that's for the older generation, or the more knowledgeable generation that's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to fly in.
Right.
And we're going to do a little mini tour.
And we're going to hub.
That's a nice way to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going pounding the pavement with a bus and the van, a bus is different if you have a driver.
Correct.
But if you're going to van, that's hard, man.
Yeah, that's hard.
But sometimes you got to rough it to make it.
That's right. You will rough it. I'm just saying, be smart when you do rough it.
Yeah, be wise.
Right.
That's why planning is key, organizing. Yep. I also think, too, with when it comes to touring, is going to the right venues,
mm-hmm.
like coming from the touring that I did.
Yeah.
If you didn't connect with the right people, you're going to be in a harder predicament as far as like the convenience of your stay and travel.
Yeah.
So like if it's a new place, you want to kind of vet them more.
Yeah.
Or even get word of mouth from other people that have been there.
Yeah.
If it is a place you've been to, you know what to expect. Okay, we're going to be posted up at this hotel. They're good at this time. Sound check, blah, 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 blah. These people are really cool. They may want to go hang out, blah, uh-huh, blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. So that's kind of another thing to think about when you're organizing, is what kind of connections you have with the venue.
For sure.
As opposed to like, this is a brand new venue. Yeah, Jimmy said it's cool. Let's go. And
right,
it turns out to be such a pain in the neck, cost you a lot more money.
Yeah, I would definitely say you need to roll with the relationships. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's a new venue in town that might want you, but this guy over here has brought you in 2-3 times and that's been really good to you. You need to go over
consistency,
there.
Consistency, yep.
Right, or somehow broker a deal between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
to have access to newer venues and all that. And I get that, but you need to go with where the relationships are.
Mm-hmm. And if I think a big thing too is, which I saw, I didn't plan the tour, but I was part of it. I drum mostly.
Yeah.
So what I saw was, if it's a new place, they have to be funneled into being a qualified venue.
Correct.
So it's like, are you able to pay this much? Is this state work for you? What happens if XYZ? Are you providing blah, 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 blah?
Right.
You know, and that sort of stuff. And then if all those check out, then they get pushed out to whoever's responsible for booking it and say yes or no, or they call them up and check more.
Right.
That way you're not, I mean, if you're brand new, you don't know, you're just out there and you're just like, oh, this venue wants to have us. Great.
Right, but the biggest reason though for all that, to in my opinion, is to make sure you get your check at the end of the night, and to make sure that that check will clear.
Yep.
Right, those are two different things that I have learned all
so,
too well.
So that's something to be worried about. If it's a brand new venue,
correct.
I don't know why I got this phlegm. If it's a brand new venue, and then it's like you don't know, and they're a wild card.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Right.
If it's someone that's been around for a while and it's like, maybe you haven't played there, but you have buddies, bands or whatever that played there, and you're uh-huh. like, okay, they'll probably be yep. cool.
Yeah, and that's another reason, in my opinion, to stick with the relationship that you have, if you have one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a new city and you've never done a gig, you know, in that city or any of those venues, yeah, you're going to have to take some risk, but go where the relationships are.
Yep.
It's a bit more secure.
Our next point is building a strong team.
Boom. Team. So the biggest, let's talk about the main. Okay, so let's say you're an up-and-coming artist. Your team might look a little different than your
established.
Yeah, your established artist. So let's talk about, let's go macro, then go down to micro, right? Mm-hmm. So like the big tours, they're going to have a tour manager. Boom. Their responsibility and their only responsibility is to get the artist to the gig. That's the main thing. Now, there's a lot of stuff under that comes with that, but that's their main role, is to make sure that the artist gets to the gig and get the gig on time. It gets on that stage on time. That's the tour manager.
Because that's your agreement probably with the venue or whoever's hosting the tour.
Yeah, to the promoter. Right,
break the contract and it's a whole.
Yeah, that's not good. They don't show up. That's not good. And that's your main job, tour manager, is get that artist on that stage. Mm-hmm. Right. So, that's a big one. What else? Well, I mean,
you have production manager.
Yeah, you can go on a production manager. They're in charge of all the gear, from the lighting and PA all the way down to the drum set, to the snare drum. Production manager. is in charge of that. Then you got your stage manager, which they're in charge just the stage. Oh, and also the production manager will also, he's in charge of the crew. So they're the ones that kind of set, like, when the crew rolls separate from the artist, you know, basically
probably get there early if they're providing their own background.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. You know, they'll need to make sure there's a rigger there for the PA to get rigged. Yeah, so production management is actually, there's a lot of logistics. It's a lot of work. And then the stage manager, literally in charge of the stage.
So when we talk about team, we're talking more about the higher tier of people that are the ones that say, sheesh, the ones that say yes or no to stuff, that are making decisions, as opposed to like the guys that are setting up the drums.
That's right.
Not necessarily the team. That's more like hired.
Right, you know? Exactly. But your big teams are going to be tour manager, production manager, stage manager. Mm-hmm. Those are your biggies.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you don't got those, then you're going to be in.
That's right.
If you ain't lined up right.
Yeah. I mean, that's for the bigger. Now, for a small artist, let's say you're in a van, what you can do, the tour manager / road manager can wear a couple of hats. Mm-hmm. Like, typically, it's the road manager, front of house guy, your main audio guy, right? Usually they're the same person, at least in my experience, that it's been that way.
Yeah.
And so, and then they, typically the band or the artist, whatever, they're setting up their own gear, typically, and that there's really no stage manager, but the MD who's there ends up becoming, you know, the stage. That's why, I mean, I like the word MD, musical director, is what we've been used, but really it's the live music producer is a term I like using.
I think sometimes that can be the artist too.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Because they're just responsible for it all. You may not have someone on the talk back mic. They're just there. They got cues.
Right. Exactly.
Where's one? Build it up. Whatever. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. All that. So yeah, you definitely, you're going to, the MD is the other critical point. As far as team members, and that is a person, whether you're on a huge tour or even a tiny one, you're going to have an MD.
Yeah, and there's, I think the way that we did it when I toured, it wasn't really, we didn't have a tour manager.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like the artist was the main person, the main point of contact, but we did have administrative help wherever they were at home.
Right,
live.
Right.
So they'd be on the phone, they'd be on the email.
That's called
connecting.
Advancing shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd go and
they were
sure
doing
stuff,
all the advancing.
Make sure the tickets are booked, the whatever, blah, 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 whoever was responsible for the artist or the venue.
Yeah.
So that was probably a real micro way of doing it, because we were the band.
Yeah.
And the main artist would be the one handling a lot of the logistics. Sometimes they get delegated to others.
Yeah. You're right. Like, advancing the show is actually in the planning stage that we were talking about before. And what that means is that you've got someone. Okay, so let's, typically, y'all, this you know, these tours, especially if they're 3, 4, 5 months, they're planned 6 months in advance,
if not more,
right? So and then let's just assume everything's routed, and let's assume everything's, you know, been, all the deposits have been made and all that kind of thing. 6 months out, that person that's advancing the shows will call the venue, get everything straight. Okay, hey guys, we're so excited. 6 months, you know, we're going to be there in 6 months. Blah, 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 blah.
Everything's still looking good.
Then 3 months, hey, we'd like to talk to you about catering. You know, we blah, blah, blah. What are some good places that we can call to go eat? Okay, 1 month out. You know, like there's a plan and a system, 6, 3, 1. And then every week after that,
day, become, hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the guy who is doing that many times, or at least in charge of it, is the tour manager. Mm-hmm. So
they have to be trustworthy.
That's
with any team, too. Is like,
all right, here's another
question. Here we
story.
Go. Go ahead. You got a story for it? You want to save it? We'll do a double doozy story time.
Okay, I'll save it.
Actually, we're in story time. So those are our main points for today.
Right.
Get a good team. All right, Ray. All right, this is the story.
All right. So after the show, while the artist is on the stage, typically what you'll do is you'll close out the show. Okay? They call it settlement. Okay, so it's when the tour manager and the promoter get in a room and they start looking at the spreadsheets, right? And because the tour manager
spreadsheet has what? Attendance,
It's got attendance. It's got the guarantee, how much the guarantee was. And because here's what happens.
Ticket sales, if that's
right.
part of it.
So the artist will usually book the show, the gig, with a guarantee. Okay, you're going to make, let's say, $10,000 on this. But then after that, any profit is split 80-20 artist-promoter. Mm-hmm. So the promoter is going to walk out with about 20% of the profit. Artist is going to walk away with 80. Now, the difference between the two is the expenses. So the
how much did the water cost and all that?
Exactly. So that, and many times the tour manager needs to approve the expenses. Mm. Oh, I'm not paying for that. And then there's a 2-hour settlement where you kind of fighting over expenses. Jeez. Because after expenses, everything goes into profit, right? Yeah, that 80-20 split. So one time I was on the promoter side.
So you're trying to get paid.
No. I was on the promoter side.
You were trying to get your 20%.
Right. And so this other dude.
No names.
He was shifty. Okay. So so shifty to the point where I required a police officer, an armed police officer, to be there. I'm not lying.
You did it before the meeting, or you did it after you had to call them up?
No. I did it during the meeting. I did it before the meeting.
So you knew as opposed
to
progressively
time,
got worse.
I had an armed because, and also we're dealing with cash, right? You're dealing with cash.
Yeah.
So I had an armed officer that was working for me at the settlement. I'm not saying it's always like that, but when you're dealing with cash and all these spreadsheets and all these things, it can get shifty.
Did you know that person? Have you dealt with them before? Was that your first encounter?
No, that was my first time with this guy.
So that's kind of what we talked about, knowing the people.
That's exactly right.
So I guess that works too with the promoter or the venue. It's like,
that's
make
exactly
sure
right.
you got the right people coming in.
Yeah. Now, once you become an established writer, so you'll have a booking agent, right? And you'll have all these other team members that will help alleviate a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can even do a deal with Live Nation where they are the venue and the promoter. So pretty much the Live Nation will agree with an artist, let's say the Jonas Brothers, and it's not the actual dollar amount, but let's say, okay, we'll do a tour for you and we'll pay you $100,000. Okay, well, and it's a 50 city tour, and here's what you're going to get.
50, huh?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm not
spitballing.
Yeah, yeah, they're not real numbers at all, but I'm just trying to give an example. Like an organization like Live Nation, they'll kind of come in, just kind of cut the artist a check, and then they'll deal with all the other stuff and make profit and all. Probably do a back end deal if the tour is incredibly successful. There'll be bonuses to the artists, but when those things happen, that makes touring a lot easier.
I think what we could talk about too, probably next time,
yeah,
it's talking about from the venue perspective,
uh-huh,
because since you've operated as a promoter before, you probably know enough about venue side of how to run the logistics of that.
Yeah. And also, well, like one of the biggest part, not only is touring the main way for artists to make money, as a part of that, merch is the biggest part, mm-hmm, of touring making money for the artist.
We could cover that too.
Yeah, we'll need to cover
that. In our huge series.
Next time.
Our touring series. Well, I have a little story.
Do it.
So when I traveled, I played drums.
Yeah.
And I would travel with too much stuff. So
lots of gear, lots of drum gear?
Yeah, I was required to travel also with merch.
Oh, yeah.
So I had...
So the drummer was the merch guy.
See? Yeah. I also wore a couple hats of fulfillment too with orders.
Did you ever have to do tour management?
No.
Okay.
No. So I had a big, huge luggage. We flew a lot, mind you. We flew into location and toured.
Yeah.
I had a huge luggage. I'd put my pedals, which I travel with double Tama Iron Cobra, on the bottom.
Yeah.
Then I'd wrap my snare sometimes. I would wrap it in whatever, some blanket or something.
That's for flying?
Yeah.
Flight cases? Jeez.
It wasn't a flight case.
Okay.
It was a luggage. And I put it on top of the snare. And then I'd put my clothes.
In a suitcase?
Yeah, because I try to consolidate, because I'm going to tell you all the stuff I had to travel with. So I travel with that snare, pedals, and cymbals in a big old SKB cymbal case with the sticks and the cymbal thing.
Yeah.
And then I also had to travel with sometimes two roller case SKBs of merch.
Uh-huh.
Now, we basically sold CDs.
Okay, yeah. So wow.
In the Christian industry, a lot of people still bought CDs, so I had to travel with that.
Yeah.
So I had that. So three things. I only have two hands. So I try to consolidate a lot.
Yeah.
So finally, one time, I bought a snare case, legitimate SKB snare case, to see if that'll help, if I could strap it on. And I had the snare, and I didn't think to tune it down when I was traveling. So I left it tuned up. And then one time we made it to the location.
Snapped.
And opened it up, and it looked like they just dropped it from a huge, tall building, full force, and that thing just busted. It was a wood snare. The head was all busted. The rims were busted. The lugs were broken.
Was that the airline's fault, or was it
the airline fault?
No.
So the airline basically, I was like,
dude, that's expensive.
Yeah, my snare is busted. This is a pretty pricey snare. And they're like, oh, we'll give you a travel voucher. I was like,
you mean like 10 travel vouchers?
Yeah, so basically what happened was,
it's a $400, $500 item, dude.
Yeah, so the artist I was touring with, they handle all the tickets and logistics of that.
Yeah.
So they negotiate. I don't even know how much the travel voucher was, whatever it was. They negotiated the travel voucher deal to them, and they're like, yeah, just go get whatever you want at Guitar Center, you know, find something, parts or whatever. I was like, okay. So I went, and I found this heck of busted old deep pearl snare drum that I was like, this might be good to use for parts if I need a lug, whatever.
Yeah.
So I bought it. I still have that snare to the day, and it made it on a bunch of recordings.
No way. That's cool.
And it has the same nasty, grimy head on it that I did when I bought it.
Wow.
And it just has a good sound to it, so I just kept it forever.
There you go.
It's on a bunch of recordings. I still use it.
Head by now.
But that was one of the touring stories of...
That's cool.
Be mindful when you're touring.
Bro.
And you got to check on baggage. That baggage either may not get there, it may get there late, or it may not get there in the condition you want it to get
there.
What are
you going to
do? How are you going to react? And what's your plan B? With snow snare drum?
Yeah. Like, that's why, I mean, everywhere I went, I had to have a full set there. I even stopped traveling with my cymbals because I didn't want to break anything. And dude, those cymbals are like $300-$400 a piece, and you need like five of them. You know what I mean? So,
yep,
it's crazy.
Another thing to be mindful about with touring.
Yes. Touring.
Before we jump off, we want to remind you, forwardproducer.com/ISP.
Boom.
Industry Standard Productions.
Yes.
Hopefully you all are excited about next week's episode. It's going to be a good one. We may have three or four episodes out of this.
I know, because touring is massive.
We're trying to make y'all some money.
Money!
So make sure you like, share, comment, subscribe. It'll help us a lot.
Yes, please.
Let us know if you have any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you think. Until next time, we will see you all later. Peace.
Peace.
This life is too short to be in one, no matter